In the name of the crucified and risen Lord, amen. You may be seated. Biblical interpretation is the most challenging and exciting thing a pastor does every week. Doesn't matter if he's preparing a sermon or a Bible study. Sometimes we struggle with a word, a verb, a name, a situation. Other times we find ourselves talking to the Holy Spirit and asking him why he didn't inspire the writer of the text to provide more information, more details, so that we could come up with a very clever and wonderful interpretation of the text. This morning, when I was reflecting again upon this text, I was thinking that it's nothing wrong to ask questions when you're trying to do interpretation of the text. Of course, that's what you're supposed to do as an interpreter of the scripture. But remember, ask the right questions. But when you do so, be prepared to hear what the text is telling you and not what you want the text to tell you. When I start working this text for this message today, I wanted to know, who are those Greeks? They came to worship in the feast in Jerusalem. Where did they come from? Well, we know that from the book of Acts, that many Greeks, they were converted to the Judaism, and they came often to worship in the temple. But why did they single out Philip? Was a random pick? Well, Philip has a Greek name. That helps. And also, he was out of town, beside the north of Galilee. Maybe they felt more comfortable approaching him because he also was an outsider. And they approach Philip, and they say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Why did they want to meet Jesus? Was it just to look at him, shake his hand, then go back home and tell their friends, their family, when they are in town in Jerusalem, they met this cool rabbi? I don't know. I'm not sure. You see, there is a big talk among the crowd on that time, because people are talking about Jesus raising this dead man Lazarus from his tomb and bringing him back to life. People continue to witness about this amazing sign. And John tells us in the gospel today that this was the reason why the crowd went to meet Jesus. And the Greeks came to Philip and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Now, Philip doesn't know how to handle this Greek request. And then as a good Lutheran, he creates a committee. So he talks to Andrew and said, "How can we handle this? Do we have a little time to add this topic in Jesus' agenda for today?" And they don't know what to do, so they decide to talk to Jesus. And then they bring the request to Jesus. For their surprise, and mind you, because he didn't answer the question I'm looking for, Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, guys, put the Greek down for 2 o'clock this afternoon." And I almost can see Philip and Andrew look to one another and say, "But Jesus, what about the Greeks? Can they come and see you? And by the way, you didn't answer the question." Or did he answer the question? Sometimes I wonder why or how many people want to see Jesus these days. And if they do, I wonder what kind of Jesus they want to see. I remember the grandparents that greeted me after a Christmas special that we had in our church. And they came to me at the end and said, "Pastor, what a wonderful Christmas special today. The daycare put on this beautiful Christmas special." He says, "Oh, we love to see Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus. But don't know why we came here tonight, don't you, Pastor? We came to see our grandson. He was one of the shepherd boys. We came to see Jesus, but really, we want to see our grandson." It was Ash Wednesday. I'm looking down the church, closing the church and going home, and as I'm trying to walk to the parking lot, this guy shows up, and he says, "Are you the pastor?" I couldn't say no. I was wearing my collar, you know. I could have said, "I'm the janitor. I'm just cleaning up the church." So I had said, "Yes, I am. How can I help you?" Then he says, "Can I come inside of the church for a moment and receive the ashes?" "Sure," I said. And I made the sign of the cross upon his forehead, and I said the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And he stayed there in the pew watching, observing the church and staring to the crucifix. And after a while, he stood up and walked towards the door. And then I asked him, "Is Ash Wednesday important to you?" "Sure, Pastor," he said. "I learned that from my mom. I do that every year. And when she calls me and she asks, 'Have you been in church today?' He says, 'Yes, Mom, I did it.' And then I show up next year again." I came kind to see Jesus, but just really I was here to please my mom. This church is in a great location, surrounded by beautiful homes, wonderful complex of apartments and streets, and they have a wonderful music program in the church. They have a wonderful pipe organ, great organist, and every year, twice a year, they put together this concert to invite everybody to come, and they put a big, big program. Great musicians, great singers. And I happened to attend one of them, and I remember leaving the church, I overheard to my left this couple well-dressed talking to the usher, and the usher asked them, "What do you think, folks, about this evening? Did you like it?" And the couple looked to one another, and the husband said, "Do you know, we don't care much about this Jesus thing, but we love the music. We love the music. We don't come here to see him, but you like and enjoy the music." Sometimes I wonder how many people want to see Jesus these days. And if they do, what Jesus they want to see? The Greeks, they approach Philip and ask, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." But we don't know for sure why they want to see Jesus. Was it because Jesus was a famous rabbi that everybody's talking about him in town? It was because he did wonderful signs and miracles, raising people from the dead? We don't know. But sir, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus, he heard their request. Oh yes, he did. And he gave an answer, not only to the Greeks, but to the Jews, to his own disciples, to everybody in town. He gives an answer to you and me. Yes, he does that. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of the wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Is now my soul troubled? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." Sir, we want to see Jesus. Oh, do you want to see Jesus? Then look to his cross. But when you do so, be prepared to see not a cute face, but instead a face that has no form or majesty, a face that is no beauty, a face that reveals sorrow and grief, a face that men want to hide their face from it. When you look to the cross, be prepared not to see an amulet, an ornament that gives you protection from the evil, from the danger in life. No, instead, when we look to the cross, you hear and see that message that is a folly, but is the power of God for those who are being saved. When you look to the cross, be prepared to hear not a joyful song, but instead a loud voice crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ's crucifixion was not an accident. It didn't happen by force of circumstance. No, Christ's death on the cross was the culmination of a plan established by God since Genesis 3. The hour has come, and Jesus came to this hour. Now is the time. Now is the time, as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And everyone who has bitten by this ancient serpent in the venom of the sin, when he sees Christ on the cross, he shall live. It was September 14 of year Anno Domini 320 that the original cross of Jesus was discovered in Jerusalem. The cross was found by Helena, mother of Constantine, the emperor. 15 years later, when they were about to celebrate the dedication of this basilica that celebrates Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, Constantine declared the festival of the Holy Cross Day. And since then, in East and Western Christianity, we celebrate this day. Did Helena find an actual cross of Jesus? Jesus was crucified on? I don't think so. Actual cross of Jesus is lost to history. And we cannot return to Calvary to find our salvation. But we don't need to. Oh, we don't need to, because salvation has come to us. As you walk to the chapel every day, the first thing we see is this baptismal font. As we touch the water and make the sign of the cross, you are reminded who we are. We're the children of God. Salvation has come to you. Salvation has come now. But there is more. There is more, because under the sign of the cross, we just heard the words of absolution. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there is more, because we hear from this place the message of the crucified Jesus preached to us every day. Sir, you want to see Jesus? Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. We want to see Jesus. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you. The actual Holy Cross is lost in history, but you don't worry. We don't need to return to Calvary. Salvation has come to us. Look to Jesus and his cross. He's here for you. Amen.